Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome for live from Capitol Hill. It is the War Room. You're in the War Room. It's Saturday, the 28th of November, the year of our Lord, 2020. Having a little technical issues here, trying to get our guests lined up. A lot happening overnight. Big ruling in Pennsylvania courts, state court, saying that everything's laid out there to totally disqualify this election. Kind of a shocker in the middle of the night. Also, CNN is now starting to get some type of old-fashioned religion where they understand that this thing could flip back to the rightful winner, President Donald J. Trump. Today's show, we're going to bring in Jack Posobiec to talk us through Pennsylvania. Also, Bernie Kerik. Another new development last night. There's going to be a hearing in Arizona on Monday, already sold out, standing room only. Everybody wants to be a part of it. It's going to be a follow-on to the Gettysburg situation, where we made tremendous headway with Colonel Mastriano and others, putting forward the evidence, showing the receipts, as we say. And so in Arizona on Monday. Wisconsin, you wouldn't know it from the media, and this is why the comms team, the comms team over at this at the campaign, I think, has to get on top of things. That we had a massive positive news coming out of Wisconsin last night. I think in Milwaukee County alone, the IC, which is the indefinite confinement folks, I think there's 235,000 ballots that have been cast in that regard. Traditionally, it's been only I think 20,000 put in. I think 19,000 Milwaukee County alone were identified, but you wouldn't see that from the news stories. Okay, we got a lot to go through. We got a few technical problems. We're going to work all of this through. John Frederick's Radio Network, Real America's Voice, Newsmax TV, GNews, GTV. We're going to get into it because we have a packed show today. We're going to take you around the nation on exactly what is going on. I want to bring in first Jack Posobiec. So, Jack, you know Pennsylvania as well as anybody. You've been following this. We're going to have Sean Parnell on in the second hour with Boris Epstein. We're trying to get Jenna Ellis. We're also going to have a witness in the second hour from just an average American citizen who is a witness to some of the most egregious activities in Pennsylvania. We'll also be on. Bernie Kerik's going to follow you to talk about Arizona. But, Jack, What was this state court ruling last night that kind of hit like a bombshell near midnight last night? What did this judge actually rule?
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me on again. And that's really great that you've got Parnell coming up, because this is his case. This is the case, the lawsuit that Sean Parnell has filed along with Congressman Mike Kelly, essentially going up through, and Patricia McCullough is the judge here in the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania. Now, she had ruled earlier in a an emergency ruling to stop the certification. And there was a question about whether or not certification had been completed in Pennsylvania. Now, the governor was putting out press releases saying, oh, the certification is done, it's certified, it's over, it's totally finished. Well, McCullough comes back and see, here's one thing that judges don't like is when you lie to them, especially when you give them bad information, because they rule off of your information. So she went in, and in this new opinion, so that was sort of the emergency opinion. This is the full opinion that she's putting out here. She's saying, hold on a second. We did a conference call, and these guys are telling me that you're putting out press releases, but that the commissions haven't been sent forward yet, the electors haven't been picked yet, that so much of this certification hasn't been done yet. So which is it? You told me on the conference call that we had had, I guess they did a Zoom call or something, that the certification process was not completed. So that's something that you can tell she's very upset in this ruling and in this opinion that she makes. But the bigger question, the bigger, sort of mic drop moment very late last night, it was, almost midnight when this thing dropped. But she's saying, I think that their claims have merit. This is Parnell and Kelly. And that they will most likely win on constitutional grounds. And just to sort of reiterate this for everybody, this, again, has to do with Pennsylvania's provision, like many other states, for what they call no excuse universal absentee ballot voting. All right. The Pennsylvania Constitution has a provision for what's called absentee ballots. and that says that there's only four categories, right? We don't have to go through all four, but each of them require a specific reason that you need to fit into. It's you know, almost a similar legal situation as the indefinite confinement in Wisconsin, in the sense that you need a specific reason you're not in, you know, you're in the military, you can't be in the municipality, you're out of work, right? There's some reason that you can't physically go and vote. And that when they made that change in the Pennsylvania legislature, that they didn't have constitutional authority to do so because the state constitution had already set those provisions in stone. And you can't change a measure of the constitution by a legislative act. You just can't do it, which would then make this an unconstitutional provision, which would mean that those absentee ballots, those new absentee ballots that were put forward in 2020, were unconstitutional ballots. And again, that's not Jack Posobiec saying that. That's not OAN War Room. That is Commonwealth Court Judge Patricia McCullough in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
So here's the thing is you really don't see they haven't put this kind of pure I guess in the six states they're doing it, but at a federal level, the campaign is now just getting geared up to argue this exact same thing across, I guess, six states, right? Because this is what Dershowitz was saying. This is the purest, this is what you try to do is just invalidate this entire thing. These mail-in ballots were unconstitutional, and you just got to throw out all of it, correct? But my point is, in Pennsylvania alone, the campaign is not in federal court arguing the same thing. They've got other arguments related to the ballots themselves, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's really a flurry of legal activity that's going on right now. Obviously, some are getting more headlines than others. We had Mayor Giuliani on last night talking about all the updates in his case. This is a completely separate case that's been going on, and I'm so glad that Sean Parnell's going to come in and he can explain this in even greater detail. I'm just kind of giving you the broad wave tops, yeah, as we would say in the Navy. But the idea is that if the Constitution says, state Constitution says, that you can only do it this way, then an act of the legislature can't trump the Constitution, right? This is basic, you know, constitutionality. Now, the question that's going to come up, and I've already had text messages about this morning, is they're going to say, but Jack, the state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania is controlled by that Democrat supermajority, right? They're like, Jack, come on, we've been following you. We know the Democrats have that supermajority. Well, the question then becomes the final backstop, remember, listen to Senator Mastriano. Listen to Colonel Mastriano. The final backstop here isn't the state Supreme Court. It's the legislature.
Now, let's pivot to that. What are they going to do? But unfortunately, Jack Posobiec, they're out of business at 5 o'clock on Monday, correct? Because of this unique thing they do every other year, which I don't know why they do it in a year of the presidential election. They do it every other year, where they go home on 30 November. So they're essentially, unless they pass this, and can you get us up? I know there's a incredible activity overnight, working 24 hours. There's this resolution. You've got another aspect of this to try to extend the Pennsylvania legislature. What exactly is going on in that regard?
Yeah, Pennsylvania is a little bit of an odd duck for a number of reasons. We have a lot of, you know, they used to call them blue laws. They a lot of traditions that we just still sort of hold to from days gone by that are still around. You know, this is probably something that had to do with the harvest season in the 1800s. I mean, it's really stuff like that in Pennsylvania, right? We have a lot of a huge agricultural base in the state of Pennsylvania. So if people haven't been there before, it ain't just Philadelphia, right? And so there's a lot of laws and traditions that traditionally accommodate that. That being said, I have confidence that Senator Mastriano will find a way through this. If he's got to go and get with the, you know, he's state Senate side, but there's also state House. If he's got to get with them to hold an emergency session, if he's got to stand up there and filibuster to keep this session open, to keep it going, I have every confidence that he's going to find a way to do that. And he's going to have the muster and the intestinal fortitude to be able to carry that forward.
Where did they even stand? And I know it's tough to kind of ascertain what the details are because things are moving so fast. But right now on the resolution itself, because it's a twofold thing, they've got to pass a resolution because there's a 1938 law where the legislature basically handed to the executive branch the abilities to certify and essentially put forward the slate of electors, which is obviously against the state constitution. They have this resolution because they can't pass a law because the governor will veto it, so they can't have a statutory relief. They're passing a resolution which actually hold that 1938 law in abeyance. Where do we stand? So that's kind of step one. Where do you stand with, as we're here at 10:15 in the morning on Saturday morning, where do we stand on actually getting the first part of that achieved, the resolution itself?
Look, people need to understand what Senator Mastriano is doing. He is upsetting the apple cart. The establishment in Pennsylvania and Harrisburg, same as the establishment in Washington, was ready to let this one go down in the history books as an L for President Trump. They were going to move on with their lives. They were already looking forward to 2022, the governor's mansion. There's an open seat in Pat Toomey stepping down, so there's going to be an open seat there in Pennsylvania. Look. But Mastriano is very smart because he knows that in this resolution, they're going to have to vote on it. And that means there's going to be a record which with each representative and their names will be named as to whether or not they voted in the interests of their constituents and their voters or not. Because he knows that while courage is also contagious, that with some of these politicians, if the backbone wasn't, if they've had it surgically removed because they've been in office for too long, that there's other ways to motivate them. And one is having them be motivated by their own voters who keep calling and then are eventually going to see this kind of pressure from places like this podcast, from places like social media, going in and saying, hey, how are you voting on the resolution? It's an up down, yes or no. That's what Mastriano is doing. So he's upsetting the apple cart, and he's making a lot of people. He's probably not making a lot of friends right now in Harrisburg, and I think he knows that. And I hope he doesn't get upset with me saying that publicly, but I think he knows that what he's doing right now is ruffling a lot of feathers because he's being the one person. If you go back to what we were saying in the immediate aftermath of the election, we said if somebody stands up in one of these states and starts to actually open this thing and take a look under the hood of what was done. Where did these votes come from? Where did these spikes come from? How do you lose all the bellwether counties and then still win the presidency, right? Is Joe Biden supposed to be, it's like someone wins the Super Bowl and gets the highest rushing and the highest yards and passing and everything, right? All at once, right? And they say, did he really do that? Let's start looking at what he did play by play. And that's what Mastriano is doing. And the minute that he started doing that, he is sending the entire thing into a tailspin because they know that under scrutiny, this stuff will not hold up. That's why you're seeing Democrats like Lieutenant Governor Fetterman this morning is up there saying, oh, well, you can't do that because of this deadline and you can't. He's sputtering up there. He's completely sputtering because he knows that Mastriano is looking into the actual integrity of the election itself. And that's what, and I've got to piggyback Richard Barros, a huge hat tip for him by saying, look, they changed the laws. They had ballots going everywhere. They were flooding the zone with ballots. That's what this comes down to. Yes, there's some very concerning things with these election systems. But when it comes down to it, the main thing they changed was they threw ballots out all over the place. That's what this case is about with Parnell. That's why the case is going to the judge. And the judge doesn't need to learn anything. She can say, look, these ballots were unconstitutional.
Jack, can you hang on for 1 second? I'm going to take you on the other side just for a minute. I got to ask you about the cowardice of all the establishment in these five states. Jack Posobiec, One America News, will join us in a moment.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back. Our guest is Jack Posobiec. We're going to be joined in a minute by Bernie Carrick, who's Rudy Giuliani's right-hand man, his wingman on all this. Jack, I want to go to you. Here's the question. Bernie's coming on because it's just been announced last night that also they're going to have another one of these huge hearings now in Arizona on Monday, just like it was in Gettysburg on Wednesday. But this is all being driven by the campaign and folks that understand what the Biden campaign has done here to steal this. In Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona, you have Republican-controlled state legislatures. in addition, in Arizona and Georgia, you control the executive branch. I think what people are stunned about, and I'd love to hear your perspective before we go to Bernie, is this is a completely passive response. Besides, you know, people like Colonel Mastriano, besides people like Sergeant Rothmus in the House of Delegates there, Don Kiefer, you've got individual patriots, and you have people, you have Fincham, Delegate or State Senator Fincham out in Arizona. You have individual patriots who are standing up and understanding this is bigger than Donald Trump. But we, you know, the Republican Party controls this. This is going to be a month that lives in infamy for the Republican Party unless they grow a spine. And I know it takes people like Bernie Kerik and Rudy Giuliani to give them a spine, or Donald Trump. But it's stunning. And quite frankly, the White House, the campaign, I think, is being as aggressive as it can be. The White House has been exceedingly passive on this. You know, and this is not about tweets. People got to be making phone calls and banging heads and saying, hey, we need a not just a fair election. We need a legal election. This is about bigger than us. So, but give us your perspective. Pull the camera back. I mean, where you see the establishment kind of standing up is in Wisconsin. Now, I think the campaign could do a much better job, and I'll talk to Bernie about that, about, and Raheem later, about presenting what's going on in Wisconsin, which is a huge win for the Trump campaign, but you wouldn't know that by reading the stories that came out last night. So, Posobiec, what is going on with the Republican Party here at the state level, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona?
See, here's the thing that's going on. You've got tactical situations, but you've also got a strategic situations, right? And when I was in the intelligence community, we talked about there was tactical, operational, strategic. So what Mastriano has done, it's a strategic change. What he did with Rudy, remember, Steve, think about it. That hearing they held, and for everything that it was also a hearing. It was a legislative session, right, of the committee. That was the first hearing, the very first hearing there in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, that's been held on any of this. So what Mastriano has done has shown the power of contrast. He's shown it not only, right, to his constituents and his district there in South Central Pennsylvania, but he showed on a national stage. This is the power. This is the Mike Lynn Fourth Generation Warfare for GW. He showed everybody what a state senator should look like. He showed them how you should be acting. He had that righteous indignation, right, that Andrew Breitbart talked about, of saying, you guys can't come in here and change the rules and tell us that Donald Trump won or did better on every single metric than any other incumbent president and then still loses the race, right? Something's wrong, right? Something doesn't smell right in Denmark, and we're going to fix that, and we're going to look into it. So he's showing the entire party, he's showing the party, look, either you come with me because people are going to follow a leader like Mastriano, the same way that his soldiers followed him for 31 years. They're going to follow him into victory, or they're going to follow him potentially into a new type of party, right? I don't know if it's the right time to call for a new party yet, but there is a new type of party forming, and it's a party that's not about ideology or, you know, Steve, I don't listen, when I listen to War Room, I don't hear you talking about the ideology of Steve Bannon and everybody has to adhere to the, no, it's pragmatism, it's action, it's what's going on the ground, what's happening in the markets, what's happening with the CCP, how are we responding to it as a country? That's been the shift. We are no longer an ideology driven party, an ideology driven movement. We are action results based and results oriented movement. That's why veterans, people who have been in the military, which is a results based environment, match up with it so well, because we're used to being held to metrics and actually held to a standard other than some amorphous ideology. We actually want to help people in the real world through real pragmatism. That's where you get a guy like Donald Trump come in. And honestly, when I hear people talk about Trumpism, that's what I think about Trumpism versus Republicanism, of sitting there and saying, oh, I guess we lost again, boys. Better luck next time. Here, we'll give you the next iteration of John McCain or Mitt Romney. It's Jeb Bush. You'll love Jeb. You'll love him. Well, Paul Ryan wants to get back in the game. No, we're done.
Jack, what, Jack, what's your Twitter handle? How do people follow you during the day, particularly this weekend? Ladies and gentlemen, you got to know there's so much going to be happening today and tomorrow in Wisconsin, in Arizona, in these places. We're going to get to Carrick here in a second. What's your Twitter handle, Jack?
Yeah, go to Twitter at Jack Posobiec, J-A-C-K-P-O-S-O-B-I-E-C. There's a video for Hedrick Zakaria that we're playing. Yeah, it's from September, but he's outlining a constitutional process that hasn't changed because the Constitution hasn't been amended since September. He pointed out this is constitutional. Everything we're talking about the state legislatures, this is the Constitution. This is the legal process. This is the law of the land from the founding fathers on forward. Everything that is going on right now was set up for in advance.
Yep.
That's why the system is there. That's why the Constitution was written the way it was.
The pride of one America, Jack Posobiec. Jack, thank you very much for taking time with him, family, on Saturday to connect with our audience. I want to turn now. I talk about results-oriented, former police commissioner of New York City, former military in the Army. I'm sorry, Bernie, I may have totally insulted. Were you Marine Corps or were you Army? I think you were Army, right, at Fort Leonard Wood?
Yep.
Army, Korea,
MP. Fort Bragg. Yep.
Fort Bragg. Bernie, here's the question. Tell us about Arizona, and I want to ask you that same question as we go through this on why the establishment's not picking up the ball and running with it. Right now, you are got this huge briefing set up for Monday. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I think we're going to go into Arizona. We're going to do the same thing we did in Pennsylvania, and that is to educate the legislators and let them know exactly what happened. Because if you go, if you look online, if you look at the mainstream media, if you listen to even a number of politicians, nobody's telling the truth. Nobody's talking about what really happened, about the machines themselves, the software, the overloading of ballots. You know, how do you have in Philadelphia over 130 or 40,000 ballots get shoved into the system between 2 and 4 in the morning? In Pittsburgh, you have over 350,000. How does that happen? And why does it happen? You know, so our analysis at this point is that the algorithm that was set up in these machines to basically have Joe Biden win was completely annihilated by the overwhelming numbers that Trump got. And when that happened, they had to bring in ballots, extra ballots and more ballots. And that's why we see the shoving of these ballots into the system. And if you go down and you went and do an analysis of how many ballots were put into the system, it's physically impossible. You know, these machines, Steve, they can take in about 3,000 per machine, 3,000 ballots per hour. Okay. And with rejections and complications, you may get that number to 2,500 ballots per hour. They, you know, to say we got 1.5 million ballots through one city, one of the districts, in a couple hours is virtually impossible. It can't happen. So these are the things that we're going to be talking about in Arizona. You know, Arizona also has the issue with the Sharpies, where they handed out Sharpies to fill out the ballots. And then later on, we come up with this video of the election officials basically telling people that Sharpies will not be picked up correctly. They shouldn't be used. Okay, why were they given out? Why were they told to use them? There's a bunch of stuff that's going to be looked at in Arizona. And I think it's all about educating the legislators on two fronts: what happened, how, and why. And also, I got to be honest, Steve, what they have the ability and the obligation to do, because I realize after Pennsylvania, there's a number of legislators in these states, they don't have a clue what their authority is, what they really have the right to do, what they have an obligation to do. And I think it's sad in a way. I give an enormous amount of credit to Mastriano in Pennsylvania for calling the hearing, for putting it out there, and then for making it public and saying, look, this is, you know what? This is about Donald Trump in this election, but more so, it's about this country. It's about how we move forward. It's about how we're going to make sure that this constitutional republic stays the way it was created by our founding fathers. And without men and women like him, this country is doomed.
Hey, Bernie, I know you're pressed for time, but can you just stay over for the commercial? It'll be 2 minutes. I'm going to come back to you. I got to ask you a question about the machines when we get back.
Okay.
Also, just to pull the camera back in broader. Bernie Kerik, former police commissioner, he is, for those who don't know it, he has been Rudy Giuliani's wingman in coordinating all of it, particularly the investigative part of it. There's nobody, if you want somebody to really investigate, you want Bernie Kerik on top of things. That's why you're seeing things happen right now. That's why you're seeing real evidence come up. That's where you're seeing real witnesses, affidavits, all of it. It's Bernie Kerik. Okay, short break. Bernie Kerik will join us on the other side of that. We're going to bring in Raheem after that to get a perspective on exactly what's going on state by state. Game is on right now, and it's happening. Just read the opinion of the judge in Pennsylvania last night at midnight. Be back with Bernie Kerik in a moment. Welcome back to the War Room. We've got Bernie Kerik, who's the wingman for Rudy Giuliani on the investigative side, pulling everything together. It's another huge presentation in Arizona, like there was on November 25th in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Bernie, here's the question: are we running out of time? You're trying to process these lawsuits. You know, Rudy's in charge of that, the overall head of that, and the strategist for that. You've got these state legislatures. You've got investigations. You know, Monday, we're essentially a week out, 8 days out from the safe harbor, and 14 days or 15 days out from really the stake in the ground, which is the Electoral College has to meet in the state capitals. Right now, in moving all these forward as quickly as you can, are you guys just going to run out of, you know, is you going to run out of runway?
Well, listen, we hope not to. But it is, I can tell you, it's overwhelming. I mean, the people here are doing 16, 18 hours a day. The investigators, the tech guys, you know, and we're bringing them in from different places to go through the numbers. That's a task in itself. The depositions or affidavits that we're taking, you know, I think there were some 240 for Pennsylvania alone. It's a task, and it's difficult. But you know what, Steve? We don't have a choice. Nobody has a choice here. This has to be done. And whether we do it by numbers, whether we do it by legislators, we do it by the courts, this has got to get resolved, and it's got to get resolved where every legal vote counts. The illegal votes get thrown out. I'm going to say this. I predict, or I think, Donald Trump won by millions of votes over what's reported in the biggest landslide in presidential history.
Bernie, I want to go to a technical aspect of this. You know, Sidney Powell has this lawsuit, which I call kind of the free option because it's a broader conspiracy with the CCP and other bad actors, and it gets down to this company and the software, et cetera. You and Rudy are moving forward on a state-by-state basis, and maybe across states, but it's to really prove something so that electors either in competition or can't be seated by the 14th, so that gets kicked into the House of Representatives, and we fight this out in January. But to go back to the core of that argument, besides the basic ballot stuffing we've seen in other areas or other in these states, to go back to these machines, the question I think immediately is, don't you have, and you were police commissioner of New York City, if you guys have not been able to produce enough probable cause from what you know now, what Sidney Powell knows, to have a local district attorney, a state's attorney general, and I look down here, I see Republicans, some Republicans, or a guy like Bill McSwain, I think it is in Philadelphia, U.S. attorney. Forget what, if Barr and these guys are passive, in your mind, do you have enough probable cause to go in and seize some of these machines? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, the way that they're kind of set up, if you seize a couple of machines and start going through them, the particulars of those machines will spread out into the entire situation. So, Mr. Police Commissioner, given that you've been grinding this, and this is not, you know, some guys got these wild, you know, the Martians and all this. you're as practical as you get about what can actually go into a courtroom. So, Mr. Police Commissioner, do we have enough probable cause to go seize these machines now? And if we don't, why don't we?
Well, I think one of the big problems here is the lack of courage by a number of people out there, whether it's legislators and district attorneys or U.S. attorneys. But I will tell you this, Steve, and I don't want to break news here, but I will tell you, I'm extremely confident that by Monday or Tuesday, we will have probable cause to go after a number of machines. And that will be based on, let me just keep it there. I'm pretty confident by Monday or Tuesday, we'll have PC.
Do you believe in your mind that they could wipe these machines before you did that? Or are you comfortable that you would be able to tell that? So knowing that it would take to Monday to do it and people would move afterwards.
Yeah, that could be a problem. But I can tell you, the people that we have, the forensic scientists and the examiners, even if they try to wipe them, there's a really good chance we can get what's on there off. And I will also say this, Steve. We have people coming forward now that work in the election commission's committees that have come forward, that have come forward to tell us there were things that happened on those machines that they grabbed or they have access to or they captured or they photoed that can be extremely helpful. So that's a part of the process as well.
Yeah, you definitely broke news. So you think you have probable cause by Monday. Bernie Carrick, I want to thank you, and I think the American people want to thank you for the team. And people don't understand, you guys are working 18, 20 hours a day through Thanksgiving every day, grinding on very limited resources and just doing an incredible job under intense scrutiny and time pressure. So I want to speak for the people here in our audience and say thank you so much for what you're doing to assist America's mayor, the one and only Rudy Giuliani, and the President of the United States, and the American Republic.
Thanks, Steve.
When the history of this time is written, ladies and gentlemen, remember, it's not going to be any one thing. You go back and study, like, the fall of the Roman Republic, or you go back and study history of what happened to certain countries, you know, certain countries and powers that were at the top of their game, and all of a sudden it went away from them. You'll see that it came down to a lack of confidence in themselves, a lack of courage. And that's what you're seeing here. That's what you're seeing here. If people had the courage of the Bernie Carricks of the world, or the Rudy Giulianis, who didn't care if they're going to be mocked or ridiculed or laughed at, but had the courage to just grind it out to get to the truth and to not back down. If these state legislatures had it, if they had the courage of Colonel Mastriano, if they had the courage of Dawn Kiefer, if they had the courage of the witnesses, one of the witnesses we're going to bring up today, if they had that courage, this would all work out. That's what it's going to come down to. There's no one technical aspect of this. There's no one ballot here or no one series of how they stole this. On the macro, it's if we have the courage, this will happen. Remember, it's this great, I think it was a Scottish mountain climber. I think his name was William H. Murray. I'll pull the quote up later. Talked about commitment. Once you fully commit to something, providence comes in on your side and all types of things happen. You get access to people, you know, events happen. Once you commit, and the problem we have here is very simple. It's about commitment. Now, you have some people that are 1,000% committed. But mainly you have people in authority, people that have the fiduciary responsibility, that are not committed. In fact, they're trying to look the other way. Remember, it took 22 days after the election to actually get the first hearing, which was by the heroism of Colonel Mastriani and others in Pennsylvania, that finally allowed Donald Trump and his campaign to come forward and start to put forward the receipts. Okay, I want to now go to Raheem Kassam, our wingman here on the War Room. Raheem, overnight, and one thing I want to talk about before I get down to this topic is to go back about Wisconsin and media and narrative. How did what is a major victory coming out of Wisconsin? And Wisconsin is an example of heroism. Wisconsin is an example of just average citizens who are not going to back up. and are coming up with and understanding that the fraud there is so in your face, right? And what they've found is so in your face, and it's now starting to be reported out. It'll totally be reported out by Sunday. But when you look at the media overnight, it's like a laughable defeat for Donald Trump, in that he paid $3 million for this thing and is going to come out 122 votes worse. And although that's not the real story, that's not the reality, that's the way it's being put out by all the wire services. And look, I'm the first to jump on guys about putting out fake news, but I don't see any counter from the campaign here. I don't see, at least maybe it's happening, but I haven't seen it. I don't know if guys got briefed up. I haven't seen, memos to the media alerts. So I want to ask you, what exactly is going on here? Wisconsin, which is a huge victory, is being shown today on Saturday morning as another clown show defeat for President Trump and his forces.
Yeah, that's right. And there are two elements of this. I will say, I mean, I have a lot of frustrations, you know, running a news team. We pull in all sorts of other people to help us out, to do write-ups, legal minds, all of that. And it's clear that nobody's being briefed up by the campaign. Nobody's being briefed up by the lawyers. I think that goes back to your previous comments that, you know, there are so few people out there who are not operating with just utter cowardice right now that it's hard to pull a comms team together. I've seen flashes of it here and there. But even, you know, for somebody like me, I'm not being served any documents, any lines, any talking points, any quotes, anything that you would expect the media to be furnished with in this scenario. Instead, we're all kind of scrambling around. We've got our Google alerts on. We're following what live blogs we trust. We're following which Twitter accounts we trust and trying to piece together things about what's going on out there. So that's one part of it, and that is a critique of at least the communications coming out of President Trump's teams across the country. But the second part of it is this. It goes back to remember how the establishment media treated the CCP virus when we first launched the show and came across it. They had no idea what they were talking about. Their health experts and medical experts were absolutely useless on the subject. All they wanted to do was parrot the talking points of the bureaucrats. And of course, we've seen how far that's got them, you know. So there's two parts of it. One is genuine media incompetence, and the other is, you know, the campaign's lack of activity in this area. Look, I think it can work for them, however, all that being said, in that a lot of this stuff will creep up upon the people that would otherwise assail them if the information was better known. So perhaps this softly approach is almost somewhat intentional. Not to crow about victories, but just to keep on racking them up behind the scenes.
But you're fighting two things here. You're fighting an information war as much as you're fighting a war for justice, right? You've got to have the information. Right now, the information war by the other side is pretty overwhelming, right? And now, don't get me wrong, we won, and I think Bernie Kerik's right. I think President Trump won a massive landslide. But in holding that victory, right, in holding that victory, a couple things have got to happen. And one of those is the courts, but the other is politics. And the politics is, this is why you're losing the narrative. This is one of the reasons you have cowardice in Pennsylvania and by the leadership and state legislature. This is why you have cowardice in Michigan. This is why you have cowardice in Georgia. And this is why you have cowardice in Arizona. And the Trump campaign led by Kerik and Rudy and Jenna and others are driving this forward and doing great. But until you shift the narrative, not by story, by narrative, that shows you that we have momentum, and there's real momentum here. Everything from the judge last night to what's going on the ground, you know, particularly finding additional information, finding, as we call it, more receipts. But so, Raheem, I tell you what, Raheem, I need you to stay over just for a second. Let's sell a few ads, and then we're going to come back. But I want to come back and ask about the narrative war, which is a subset of this, of courage. If you want courage to be contagious, one, you got to get the narrative right so that guys understand that they're not going to be hanging out there on a limb. Okay. Stephen K. Bannon, Raheem Ghassan, War and Pandemic. Take a short commercial break. We're going to return. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to have Boris Epstein from the campaign to go through the legal aspects. All next on War and Pandemic. Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's There's an overall larger fight that we're engaged in, right? But we have something immediately that's upon us, because time waits for no man. On the 14th of December, the Electoral College is going to meet, okay? And if the Electoral College meets without all of this being worked through about how the Biden campaign, working with others, stole this massive victory of Donald Trump, Joe Biden is going to be inaugurated high noon the 20th of January. People better start to embrace that. And I'm tired. I don't want to hear any more about Soros or Bill Gates or AOC or Omar or any of that. That's all interesting. It's all nice. It's all interesting. That's for another day. We got to sort this out now, because we are burning daylight. So, Raheem, this is the problem we've got. The problem we have is that there is a handful, and I mean a handful, of courageous individuals that are putting their careers on the line, putting their sacred honor on the line, to go all in on this. And I think the president's got to go all in on this. He's got a video out about a tiger, you know, being attacked by jackals and hyenas. The president of the United States got to start banging some heads. Donald Trump is the man. He is the alpha male. He is the carnivore. Well, that's what we need right now. This thing not just can be won, it must be won. And it's out there. The evidence is out there. The evidence of the landslide is out there. The evidence of the steal is out there. This can happen. But we're not even building the narrative case. What happened in Wisconsin is heroic. What happened in Wisconsin is also the reason the mainstream media doesn't report it. They got caught red-handed by solid citizens who would not back down. Wouldn't know that from the press this morning. Wouldn't know that from the media this morning. So, Raheem, you're a guy who's made your career in politics doing big things like Brexit, doing big things like really leading to the conservative takeover of the UK government, right? What is going on here? Why can't we build a narrative that starts to give some backbone and spine to these legislatures in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Georgia, in Arizona, where victory lies? It all lies right there. If you do that, Trump's victory is confirmed. End of discussion.
I think a lot of people, I mean, look, what you saw last week with the Pennsylvania hearings, clearly Rudy gets it, Jenna gets it. It's about wresting control back of the narrative, of the discussion, you know, putting up hours upon hours upon hours of witness testimony for the world to be able to go in and watch. And if you look at the numbers, at least on YouTube, on Real America's Voice, on the Right Side Broadcasting Network, the numbers of people who watch those things are absolutely formidable. But there are a lot of people out there right now just killing time, right? A lot of people in the RNC, a lot of people in the campaign, a lot of people in the local campaigns who kind of checked out the day after or the day after the election, and are just kind of killing time until they get to shop their resumes around Capitol Hill again. And I always say, you cannot kill time without injuring eternity, right? You cannot kill time without injuring eternity. And anybody who's out there killing time right now, waiting to shop their resumes around, should be shunned. They should be shunned for the fact they never had the fight, and they will fight like that for every time in the future. They will never support the conservative cause. They'll always back down. So here's the thing. Okay, that's the prognosis. That's the situation as it is. How do you solve that? Number one, as I said last night, and I believe you did as well, you know, what we're seeing from Pennsylvania overnight with this new opinion, that shows why the president needed to be out there rallying this whole weekend. You could very easily pull together a narrative of victory if you have that opinion coming down from Patricia McCulloch, and you've got the president up there on a stage, and suddenly the world takes another look at this and goes, oh, wait a minute, there's something going on here, and there's something to this. The courts are saying, stop, you can't certify these things. And we look like we're going to the state legislatures in Pennsylvania, look like we're going to the Supreme Court on other cases as well. But instead of that, I mean, look, I'll break some news here. I think the president should get rid of the advisors around him who are telling him to kill time, to bide his time, to stand back, to step back, to watch how it all plays out. I think they should be fired. I don't think they're doing any justice to human history right now, let alone to the president of the United States and those who voted for him. So as we proceed, we're going to another series of hearings taking place this week. Again, wresting control back of the narrative. But I just wish there were 50 Rudys and 50 Jennas right now pushing all of that forward.
If you go to Arizona on Monday, and let's say you're in Michigan, you know, Nevada, I think's on Thursday, evidentiary hearing. Let's say you move up Georgia and you go to Michigan. Is there enough time if you have both? I'm saying the president goes for rallies and you're doing hearings. In your mind, is there enough time? Clearly, you're not going to make the safe harbor, but that I think is flexible. Is there enough time to get this sorted by the 14th of December?
Just right now, just. I mean, if we had had that situation taking place today, I would have said yes, there absolutely is. Right now, it's hairline. It's right on the knife edge. You're going to get, and the worst thing about it is, and look, I'm not trying to be pessimistic towards the audience about this at all. People know that I'm always upbeat. I'm always looking for the victories. But here's the thing that nobody wants to see is that you get to that date of the 14th, and then you get a couple of days after that, and you go, oh my goodness, we had all of this information and we couldn't pull it together in time because this person in Pennsylvania didn't get their act together, or this person in Georgia was too timid to come forward. And then it becomes very clear that you had a victory in the hand and you didn't use it. So right now it's on a knife edge. That's why I implore everybody, if you have even a tangential ability to get involved, get involved.
Raheem, National Pulse, what are you guys reporting? You got about 30 seconds. What are you guys reporting, and how did they get to you in the National Pulse?
We have the new data coming out of Michigan that we've put up on site. We've also got the latest suit, the opinion by Patricia, the Judge McCulloch there as well, and the latest from Senator Mastriano, all up on the National Pulse right now. People can go and look at it.
Raheem Ghassan, thank you for taking time away today to visit with our audience. Thank you. See you on Monday.
Thank you.
If you remember the film, one of the things we try to always do is do process and do critical path and be able to look down range. You got to always look down range of how things have to converge. You know, you may be in a situation now that's like that movie Bridge Too Far, right? That the 14th is the bridge at Arnhem. So we're going to try to avoid that. But people have to get on point. You can't ask any more of Carrick. You can't ask any more of Jenna Ellis. You can't ask any more of Rudy. They're working 18, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we come to a climactic, resolution of all this, next 2 weeks are going to be as intense as any in American political history. We're going to go to the campaign, talk to one of the lead lawyers, Boris Epstein. We return on War Room Pandemic. Okay, welcome back. We're in the fight of our life here to save this republic and to do it to make sure that we had a fair and free election, an illegal election on November 3rd. It looks like a massive landslide by Donald J. Trump is in the process of being stolen by a collection of nefarious characters. Now, right now, we don't have to worry about those nefarious characters. They already did their action. What we have to do is to make sure that that can be countered by the truth. And they use the venues that are open to us, the court system, and what the Constitution and our framers laid out, the state legislatures. And the campaign is doing that. They're fighting in the courts. Other outside groups, like we're going to have Sean Purnell on here at the bottom of the hour, are fighting in state courts. And, of course, the state legislatures. And it's just been announced that a massive hearing is going to be to take place on Monday in Arizona. Bringing on now Boris Epstein. So, Boris, walk us through the details of where these victories are at the state level, because we're winning a lot. I'm not so sure it's getting out in the media. We'll talk about that in a second. But just like last night, the state level, what the judge said in the middle of the night, this ruling from a judge in a Pennsylvania in state court. So walk us through where we're winning.
Well, here's what we're winning. We're winning in Georgia. We are going to get the signature match. We've got a great team over there. Cleta Mitchell's doing a great job. And we've got a very, very strong team focused on Georgia. So we're going to get the signature match on Georgia. In Pennsylvania, as you just mentioned, we have a very strong, reasonable judge, finally, who looked and said the truth out loud. She said the quiet part out loud, as you like to say, that this was a massive fraud perpetrated on the American people by the left, by the Democrats. So that was absolutely key. Then we go to Wisconsin. Of course, the media is trying to spin things negatively because that's their job, right? Communications department for the Democrats. But here's what really is happening in Wisconsin. The numbers were never going to go our way on this recount because every time we object in both Milwaukee and Dane County, it's 2-1 Democrats to Republicans in terms of who adjudicates those objections. But what we are doing is we're getting a record of all of these ballots that were either cast without a proper application, were cast by the clerk fixing them outside of the law and rules and regulations, or people who are claiming they were indefinitely confined when they're not. And we're making a record of all these ballots. And again, from what I understand, that the number right now of ballots that have been identified in just Milwaukee County that are outside of Wisconsin constitutional law is over 100,000. And that's a 73rd to 80-20 Biden county. And we're only down 20,000 in Wisconsin. So we're good in Wisconsin. Going on to Arizona, as you mentioned, there's going to be a legislative hearing in Arizona on Monday. The legal team is going to go over there and present a case for an overwhelming array of fraud and irregularities in Arizona. We've already filed an action in Arizona on Tuesday, and that action is a premonition to a full-blown lawsuit, which could only be filed under Arizona law after November 30th. And in that lawsuit, we're laying out the fact that duplicate ballots, fixed ballots, pro-Trump ballots were not counted, according to our information, and we have affidavits and witness statements as to that. The fact that there were ballots that should have been fixed, which were not allowed to be fixed, going back to the green button issue. And then observers not being allowed, Republican observers not being allowed to observe and inspect the counting of and the processing of mail ballots. And then in Nevada, we've got a hearing on December 3rd on the wide irregularities and all of the issues, dead people voting, people out of state voting, all of the problems that have existed and exhibited themselves in the state of Nevada. So as you go across the country, we continue to prove, and we've got the receipts now on this widespread fraud. And of course, the media is going to try to do everything it can to pretend like it doesn't exist. But it absolutely does. Our lawyers are showing it. And now we're taking it to the legislatures, just like Rudy Giuliani did in Pennsylvania. He will do in Arizona and then on to other states.
I just want to make sure for the audience, so I want to triage this for a second so they get a construct they could think through. There are three states that you've got very practical, pragmatic, kind of old school, either ballot stuffing or illegal voting. And that would be in Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin. In Georgia, you're just down 12,000 votes. In Arizona, 10,000. And in Wisconsin, 20,000, right? And all those right now, what you have on the table could flip all three of those states and send this essentially to Congress. The Electoral College would be tied, or you would not get to 270. Biden would not get to 270. It would be kicked to the House of Representatives in January, where Donald Trump's victory would be affirmed. So just those three alone in old school, what you could prove now, okay? Then you still got Michigan and Pennsylvania, these bigger constitutional questions, and with the machines and the massive, you know, ballot stuffing or election fraud, I'd like to say, and then you've got Nevada with a steal it the old-fashioned way. So you've got lots of options. The question gets to be, are we running out of time, and are you guys running out of runway? You know, Monday, and just got to talk practically, there's a lot of movable feast in this thing. You know, I certify, but then I can go back and sue. I can do this because every state's different. One thing that's not movable is the 14th of December. Right. That's actually that's statutory, tied back to, you know, hardwired back to the Constitution, where the electors have got to show up in state capitals, right, and present themselves as the Electoral College, you know, nationwide. That is going to happen. So that essentially gives us, I don't know, 16, 17 days, 16 and a wake up. But more importantly, when you guys are in Arizona on Monday, it's essentially a little over 2 weeks, and you're fighting. You're going down you're in state court and in federal court on the constitutional and other issues. You're also now in state legislatures, but in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona, where we control, I think, both houses of the legislatures, you can't even get to date. You have not gotten in Arizona's not a formal official hearing. So tell me what the plan is. I mean, courage is contagious, and there's a lot of courage in the group you've got. It's unbelievable what you guys are doing, and what you guys have accomplished is historic, but particularly against the odds. But is that courage going to be contagious enough? And I think people are stunned. And this is what I keep telling. Let's not talk about Soros. I don't want to talk about Bill Gates. I don't want to talk about AOC. We'll deal with all that later. In the next 16 or 17 days, what you've got is a bunch of sheep that essentially go around as state legislators as Republicans, and to find the Mastrianis is pretty rare.
Well, we are confident, and we found the Mastrianis, as you say. We found the courageous legislators in all of these states. The Arizona hearing, yeah, you're right. It's not a formal hearing, but it is a hearing of legislators from both houses of the Arizona legislature who are going to come together and hear and listen about the widespread fraud in the state of Arizona and why Arizona cannot send electors based on legal and illegal votes. They only can send electors based on the legal votes. And that's what really comes down to. That's all we're asking is find out what the legal votes in each state are. Look at the state of Michigan. 71% of those voter rolls were unbalanced in Wayne County. The Wayne County Board of Canvassers never certified. Sure, they certified, and then there was a forced vote to actually do so. But then there was a signed affidavit by the Republican members of the board saying, "Hey, we never did it. We were forced to maybe raise our hand or whatever it is, but we never formally certified. We believe it shouldn't be certified." So the state of Michigan cannot look at the legislators of the state of Michigan cannot look at themselves in the mirror and say, "You know what? We are confident that Joe Biden got the most legal votes in Michigan." They just can't do that. You know why? Because they haven't conducted an in-depth, verified recount of Wayne County, which is what they should be doing, which is what we're pushing for. Again, go across the country, Georgia, where they're finding ballots anywhere and everywhere. Look at Pennsylvania. I mean, we've talked about Pennsylvania until we're blue in the face, but look at all of the fraud in Pennsylvania, the inability of observers to check the processing of up to 700,000 ballots, the enabling of Democrats to fix to cure their ballots, but Republicans not being able to do so. Look at Wisconsin now. We're coming up with real numbers in Wisconsin. Our next action in Wisconsin, which will happen by Tuesday of this week, is going to lay out a massive, massive amount of votes. As I've said to you, just on the application issue alone, the fact that in Wisconsin, the vote-by-mail absentee voting is not a right, it is a privilege. And we believe that out of this recount, the number that we're going to come up with in Milwaukee and Dane County is over 100,000 votes, mail and absentee votes, which do not match up with a granted application. The difference is 20,000 in Wisconsin. These are 70, 30, 80, 20 Biden counties. So as you're looking at these, as you're looking at these legislatures, and the legislators are studying what happened in their states, they've got to listen to their constituents. And the constituents want for them to determine who got the most legal votes. And once that happens, we're confident the determination will be President Trump did, and he will get a second term.
10 days from now, start, you know, Monday a week, right? I think it's December 7th. If going on the plan to reverse this, you guys will both be in the Supreme Court arguing, and you'll be before three or four of these state legislatures trying to affirm Trump's victory, or trying to make sure that the illegal ballots are not counted and only the legal ballots are counted. Do you have the? We got about 2 minutes here for you, Boris. Do you guys actually have the bandwidth to do that? I mean, that's two extraordinary things. You're going to argue one of the most historic cases in the history of the country. At the same time, you're going to be before a number of legislatures trying to make sure that the correct electors are put forward at the state capitol on the 14th. That is going to be a week of insane, you know, scrutiny, intensity. Do you guys have the bandwidth to do both and pull it off?
Absolutely. We've got the bandwidth. We've got the firepower. We've got the right people on it. And we are absolutely prepared to fight the battle on many fronts. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that, as you said, both in terms of the courts and legislatively. And if we need, there's other people who could be brought on to help out. But as we stand right now, we are absolutely well positioned for that fight. And it's a fight for the integrity of our elections. It's not for this president. It's for the presidency overall. because it's the American people. We talk about this all the time. It's the American people who get to decide who wins our elections. It's not Fox News. It's not MSNBC. It's not CNN. It's not Twitter. It's not some people who are gloating about, you know, this intermediate recount number in Wisconsin without understanding the, why the recount was put in place in the first place. It is the American people. And look at what happened in Pennsylvania. They called that hearing, and it was full to the gills, full in that room. Arizona, meeting is called. So it was free. All the tickets were taken in 30 minutes. The American people know what happened. Look at the numbers. Out of the, 75 million people who voted for President Trump, all of them believe that President Trump is in his right to fight this fight. That is a huge number of people.
Not just that. Zero of them think that Biden won legally. So, Boris, how do people follow you throughout this weekend? This is going to be intense. How do they get access to you and what's going on?
Absolutely. Follow me at Boris EP on Twitter, the one and only at Boris on Parler, and very importantly, Boris _ Epstein on the gram, Instagram. I'm putting a lot of information out there, too, because we've got to cover the whole field on social media. So at Boris EP on Twitter, at Boris on Parler, Boris _ Epstein on the gram. Steve, thanks so much. You're a total champion. Love all the guys at War Room, and we're going to win this thing for all your listeners.
Boris, thank you very much. Great fight. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break, sell some ads here, pay for the show. We get back. They say these are baseless charges. Well, Leah Hoops from A Witness in Pennsylvania doesn't agree. You see the Sean Parnells and the Tej Gills and these guys out there every day getting it done. And what Tej didn't say is that in his 10 years in the two combat tours and Sean Parnell's combat tour to the cauldron that is eastern Afghanistan, these are American young men and women. And what they're over there, they're fighting for the First Amendment rights of people in Afghanistan, of people in Iraq. Now they're back here. Right. Having given up the best years of their lives. Right. With many of their friends either maimed or came back with PTSD or didn't come back at all. Right. Many people have. And now they're angry. And why are they angry? They're angry for good reasons, because they're sitting around and they're seeing it. They're seeing this country slip away. They're seeing the republic that they fought for become something totally different. And it's pretty obvious. We're going to be one thing or the other. What do we have there? Is that the names? Yeah, can we get up here right now? We're going to have it up. We'll put it up at the end right now over me. This is the people to contact in Pennsylvania. It all comes down to Pennsylvania this weekend between now and Monday. We've got Cutler, and I think we've got Corman's name up there, their information, et cetera, and so what they need to hear, because this fight now comes down to this. But there's a lot of people out there angry. What we need to do is funnel that anger into a positive force. That positive force is that we're not going to allow this election to be stolen. We're not going to allow this republic to become something totally different. And the way to do that is to commit. Once you commit, you will find that Providence opens up all types of events, information, substance to you. So now this fight is engaged, and we got until December 14th. We're going to be one thing or the other on the evening of December 14th. Either it's getting kicked into the House of Representatives, or Joe Biden in an illegal, illegitimate junta is going to be in charge of the United States of America. Okay, Monday morning, we'll pick this back up. Stephen K. Bannon in the War Room. Bring it on and I'll fight to the end. Just watch and see. It's all started. Everything's begun. And you are over. Because we're taking down.